Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, if you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Jess Roth / Cobray. Dan would not like it if I told you that, but I am totally a Cobra in and out, but I married a Roth family, so I am blessed to be part of both, and God has blessed me to be a part of this church ever since it started, and I kind of had no choice. I mean, I was their kid, and so I was the one, you know, under the pews, under the seats while they were praying and eating donuts while they prayed for all of you from the mountains, and so... And then God started to put on our heart to pray for you. And the Lord has just so birthed the Rock Church in my heart and my husband's heart as well. We went off to Rhema and they asked us to do a project where we would start our own church. And Dan and I were like, we don't want to start our own church. We feel like we're like, this is wrong, you know, but it was like our assignment. And so we were like, okay, we're going to start the Rock Church of San Bernardino as if it wasn't there. You know, like, and like, what would we do? And so that was our project. So then our teacher, we turned it in, and our teacher was like, this is already there. You can't do that. And so we just changed it to Santa Barbara. Like, so anyways, it has always been our heart to be here and to love you passionate and deeply. And so if you're wondering who I am, because I know you probably know who my husband is and Pastor Luke is my brother, and he's an amazing man of God, and we're just so blessed to have him in our family. And I get to be the big sister, so I get older faster, and that's a bummer. And then Dan is my husband, Dan Roth. So he's now the senior pastor of this church, and I get the privilege of being over the women's ministry now. So I am so in love with you women. I'm so excited about what God's going to do in the hearts of women in the Inland Empire. I believe that we are the ones that are going to be launched out to change our world, to change our families, to see God face to face, and then to spread the news of Jesus Christ in our homes and among the people around us. And so I just know that God has a plan and a purpose for where we're going and what we're doing. And so this week, you know, it's almost going to be Thanksgiving in just a few weeks. I think it's like, what, 2.5 weeks away, 3 weeks? Crazy. Has anybody bought all of their stuff for Thanksgiving yet? You are on it, girlfriend. Oh my goodness. You know, I heard it said this week that Halloween's over, so now we could talk about Christmas. You know, so now I love, love, love Christmas. Everybody in my family, you can ask them what is the best time of the year, and they're going to tell you that Christmas is the best time of the year. All of my children, I have them brainwashed. But I wanted to share something funny with you. You guys want to laugh a little? Okay, so, hold on, let me find it. Okay, this is, how do you know you're a mom? Okay, this is how you know you're a mom. You ready? Do we have any moms in the room? Do we have any moms with young children in the room? Okay, cool, because like nobody comes AM. You need to come in the AM. If you're home, you need to get your butt in church. Okay, so, ready? Here you go. How you know if you're a mom is happy hour is nap time. You fantasize about sleeping. Cleaning up is pointless exercise. You know what the true meaning of 24/7 is. Amen to that. You have to take a shower, and that is on your to-do list for the day. It takes 2 times longer to get out of the house than it does to run errands. Amen to that one. I always have a hard time. I'll be there in an hour. It's like 2 hours later. Okay. You don't speak with adults. You just spell with adults. Oh, hey, girlfriend, how are you? I don't have time to talk. And we're texting, right? And then you think that waking up at 7 a.m. is sleeping in. Yeah? Yeah. And having conversations about poop is totally normal. In fact, I've had those conversations with friends, like, how are they pooping? Are they pooping good? You know, there's like that very serious concern on my face, like, you know, if they don't poop good, maybe we need to like try some new things, you know? Okay, and then the last and funniest one is you have more baby wipes in your purse than you do cash. All right, you gotta just love being a woman, right? Well, you know, this week was interesting to me. I kept trying to study for this week, and then I thought Pastor Deborah was going to do tonight, and she's like, no, you're doing it. And so as I began prepping, I'm like going, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to the girls? What do you want to feed into their hearts? What is it that you want them to know? And he goes, well, I'm not going to give that to you. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, I got like an hour, the kids are going to come in, the husband's going to start calling, people are going to call. And he was like, no, I don't want you to write anything down. And so all week long, every morning, I had been waking up just like, okay, come on, God, what do you got for me? What do you got for me? Have you ever been in those moments like you're just like anticipating what he's going to say, but he really doesn't say much? And by the end of the week, I realized he actually said a lot because I was like recapping the week. And every morning, he was having me wake up, and he was having me look at my life. And then he would say to me, what do you think about that? And it'd be like my husband talking to me. What do you think about that? While Dan's in the middle of talking, I'm like, oh, he's so handsome. I just love him. I'm so grateful for him. And he goes, yep, that's what I'm talking about. And the next day, the kids would come in, and they would say, Mom, I just love you so much. And I was like, wow, God, thank you for my kids. Thank you that they have hearts of gold and that they love their mom. And God goes, yep, that's what I'm talking about. And by the end of the week, I had like this laundry list of things that I had thanked God for. And then he said to me, and that's what I want you to talk about. I want you to talk about having a thankful heart. And I said, oh, Lord, I love that. That's exciting. He goes, yeah, but you don't do it all the time, Jess. And I was like, oh, man, now we're going to really start talking. And as he began to pin down things, he said, it's easier for women and men for us to focus on what isn't instead of what is. It's easier for us to look at our circumstance and go, oh, my goodness, how's this going to happen? Ah! Instead of go, thank you, Lord, you've got this. Thank you, Lord, this is not too big for you. Thank you, God, that you're the God of the impossible. What am I freaking out about? Thank you, God, for whatever it is that we're dealing with. And so I started talking to him. I'm like, Lord, who in the Word is a woman that I could just long after? And for a week, Mary Magdalene had been stirring in my heart. And Mary Magdalene was quite an incredible woman. They talk about Mary Magdalene quite a bit in the Bible. She's mentioned 14 times in the New Testament. And Mary Magdalene is a woman that they think she was wealthy. She was also known as a sinner. Can any of us relate? I know I am one of the biggest sinners that has ever roamed the earth. And so Mary Magdalene, I totally connect with her. And Jesus came on the scene in Luke 8, and he freed her. She actually had seven demons, and he delivered her of these seven demons. Now, Mary Magdalene could have walked away from Jesus and said, thank you, and moved right on with her life, right? But do you know what happened to Mary Magdalene? She all of a sudden became his inner circle. She began to live a life that she never knew was ordained for her. She never knew where she was going next, but oh, she was with the one who redeemed her. She was with the one who saved her. She was with the one who knew her. She was with the one who did not see her past, but saw her present and her future. And she was so in love with Jesus. And you know, the cool thing about Mary Magdalene was that he trusted this woman. You know, Mary Magdalene wasn't just any woman. She was there when he died on the cross, and she was there when he was ascending to heaven, when he had gone to hell, and he had taken the keys back from Satan, and he was on his way to heaven. He said to her, do not touch me, for I yet not ascended. I think it's interesting that he allowed Mary Magdalene to see him in that moment. Here she was, a sinner, and she had seven demons delivered from. That means she was into some stuff. You don't just get demons for no reason. She was into some stuff. And God said, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I am the one who came to save you, to free you. And she connected with him. And she was grateful and she was thankful. And because of her gratitude and her thankfulness, Mary Magdalene's whole destiny was changed. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, when I got redeemed, when this nastiness that I was walking in was gone and abolished and wiped away from me, and I met Jesus for the first time with all of my heart, when my heart was cleansed, when God had a purpose, when he had a plan, it all began to be clear. And there's just something inside of me that said, I can never come away from him. I can never walk away from his feet. I can never, ever forget where I came from, because he saved me, he redeemed me, and he restored me. And then that begins a life of thankfulness towards the King. You might be sitting here today and going, God, yeah, you know, I guess I have gotten used to the way I live and I forget where I came from. You know, we live a good life when we serve God. And the things that we once struggled with aren't our struggles any longer, and then we have new struggles. And God says, don't you understand that when you constantly are thankful for where I'm going to take you, that you are going to unlock things in your life. You're going to go places you never thought you could go. You're going to dream dreams you never thought you could dream. You're going to love in a humongous way that you never thought you could love, because people bug you, and how in the world are you going to like them? But you do end up liking them somehow, because you've all of a sudden adopted the heart of God, and you become this new creation, and all of a sudden everything changes. But it begins with a heart of thankfulness. It begins with a turning of our heart and saying, that's just not right. I don't want to live that way. I'm going to turn it back around and do what God's asked me to do. Pastor Deborah and I were talking, and she's like, it's like a light switch. You know, whatever situation you're in, you could turn it on or you could turn it off. And when you start to begin to thank God, you're turning on the light in that situation. Or you can turn the light off and walk in bitterness and criticism and unforgiveness. You can be stingy. You can wonder why nobody likes you. Well, maybe there's a reason. You're not easy to be around. And you know what? All of us go through that, so don't beat yourself up over it. The biggest part is to catch yourself in that. You know, you go, oh, girl, you know, on those times of the month, I'm like, nobody talk to me. I ain't thankful for nothing. It's true. But you know what? That's when we mostly need to get in the face of God and say, Lord, no matter what's happening in here, no matter what, hormones are freaking out on the inside, Holy Spirit, I surrender them to you, and I thank you that you've got my back, that you're going to guard my mouth this month or this week, and you're going to allow me to be the daughter you've asked me to be, and I'm going to continue walking in what you've asked me to do. And see, it's just the simplicity of thankfulness. It's just a simple, but it's easy to forget to be thankful. It's just easy to forget. I think it's harder to remember than it is to, you know, do it. And so with Mary Magdalene, I believe that God has something for us. You know, she's put in the Bible and she was just an amazing person. But did you know that you're pretty amazing? Did you know that God has this like incredible destiny for you? Did you know that just because you're older or you're younger or you're, I don't know, maybe you're poverty and maybe you're not. I don't know what your social class is. You know what? He doesn't care. Because he says, I love you and you're gorgeous to me and you're beautiful in my eyes. And if you can just begin to thank me for what is instead of being frustrated for what isn't, it's going to begin to unlock some things in your life. So lessons from Mary Magdalene on being thankful. If you're taking notes, I'd love for you to do that. And now I'm going to use your water bottle. Can I use your water bottle real quick? I'm going to use this. You guys see this water bottle, right? This water bottle represents Jesus. And inside this water bottle is water. The water represents your life, okay? All the stuff in your life, all the issues in life. And the water bottle represents Jesus. Now, is this water bottle half empty or half full? See, that's usually the question. That is actually not the important question in this scenario. You know what's pretty cool about this? You aren't thankful for if it being half empty, and you're not thankful for it being half full. You're thankful for the bottle that holds your life together, that keeps it all in one place, that it stays under control in his power and in his will. That is what we're thankful for. It's just a silly little example. But I'm thankful that he surrounds our life and he keeps us and he holds us. And let's not forget that. a heart of thankfulness. What does a heart of thankfulness lead to? Anybody? What do you think a heart of thankfulness leads to? Say it out. Go for it. Joy?
Happiness?
Peace? Peace is a good one. We work really hard to find peace, don't we? Anybody else? Say it out. Favor? Ooh, that's a good one. Understanding. I love that, you guys. We do. But you know what? A heart of thankfulness brings all those things. But the coolest thing that a heart of thankfulness does is it brings us freedom. You see, bitterness and unforgiveness and criticism can bind us up really tight in a knot. And in that criticism and in the unforgiveness and in the bitterness, so-and-so said that about me, I cannot believe that she went there. Oh, I forgive her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she walks by you in church and you're like, I'm going the other way. I don't want to even talk to her. Have we been there? Do you know what that is? That's a root of bitterness and unforgiveness. Somebody hurts you. And oh, you will never let them hurt you again. Listen, it ain't your job to never let them hurt you again. It's his job to protect you, to keep you, to guard you, to love you. You see, we put things in our court. We put things in our bottle. We put things in our life that push God out. And bitterness, unforgiveness, and a critical spirit will tear us down so fast. You will lose your heart of thankfulness and gratitude, and all of a sudden, life will just be put on stop. You will wonder why things aren't moving the way they should move. You're going to wonder why, you know, why so-and-so stopped calling me? Well, maybe they're picking up on your bad attitude towards them. Instead of Christians, we should walk in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. You see, criticalness and bitterness will rip us apart. It will eat us up from the inside. And God has never called his women to live in bondage. He has called us to live in freedom. And when we have a thankful heart, we will be free in the things of God to do what it is he's asked and demanded of us to do. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and the evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. 1 Peter 5:7. Say, how do I do that? How do I put it all away? You cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. So when those pains come and when those, you know, like, you can feel it, right? Do you guys get a little anxiety inside when something is happening and you're nervous about it? Maybe you had to confront a situation and it's just not comfortable for you. Listen, you cast your care on him. It is never yours to carry in the first place. He never asked you to do it alone. He never required for you to do life alone. He never required for you to be critical and unforgiving and irritated all the time. He wants us to be women just free, ready, and open for what it is his will and his way desires of us. And that is through a heart of thankfulness. And when we begin to thank God for those hard times, we begin to praise him in those things. You know, the word of God says, let me count it all joy through my various trials. You say, how do I do that? Listen, happiness is a very temporary thing, but joy is from God. That is a supply that he gives us, that even in the hard times, we can hold steady, hold firm. And so when you're going through a hard time and you don't feel free, check your heart. Say, ooh, God, what's going on? I feel like irritated and wrong, and something's just not right inside. And the Lord will reveal to you in your quiet time. He'll say, well, when you thought this towards so-and-so, or when you didn't let this go, or when you held on to this, it started to bury in your heart, and it pushed me out and allowed the enemy to come in and steal your joy. You see, God has good things for us. Two psychologists did a study, and they have done much research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things they are grateful for and that had occurred during the week. A second group were to write about their daily irritations and the things that displeased them. And the third group was to write about events that affected them with no emphasis on being positive or negative. They just had to write about what happened. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and they felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more and had fewer visits to the doctors than the ones that were focused on the source of an agitation. You see, being free in thankfulness, being free in Christ, is going to just instantly bring you joy. I was on the phone with this wonderful girl today, and she called me this morning, and she was my flower girl in my wedding. And she called me out of the blue. Now, she has had quite success in her life. She became an RN. She was like top-rated number one softball player at OU. And, I mean, they called her Too Fast Terrain because she was such a good pitcher. I mean, she was just an amazing woman of God. But more than that, she loved God with all of her heart. And she called me this morning while I'm running out the door, and I'm just like, Brianna, what? Hey. And she's like, listen, I need some spiritual advice. I need to talk to you. And her husband has just been signed, well, he's been there for a year now, with, I can't remember which team, the Chiefs, I don't know, one of the football teams. Can you tell? I really care. And so, some NFL league. And he's been there for a year. Now, he is such a man of God. And so she said that when they first went into this, I mean, if you know them, they're just very casual, very down-to-earth people, love God with all their hearts. And I can't imagine them being in that pack of wolves, honestly. I was kind of like, oh, gosh, that's scary. And she said they walked in, and here Tress was, and he was, like, talking to the guys. And after a while in the locker room, one of the guys who had been there for a long time on this team said, "What? There's something different about you." He's like, "You're so happy all the time." And Tress was like, oh. And, you know, us as Christians, that's your key. You better start witnessing, okay, at that point. And he began to open up about Christ. And this guy who wanted nothing to do with God, Brianna said his heart started to get soft towards the things of God. And they've been able to minister to him. They started a Bible study on that team. They have been, like, doing what God needs them to do. She has a feeling they're going to be moved on to another team. And she goes, but at least we started and pioneered something that they will be able to continue on. And I thought to myself, she goes, and she said this to me, I'm so grateful that God used this little girl who just wanted to love him to be in a world that I don't feel comfortable in, totally outside of my comfort zone, but he's able to use me. And I went, oh, gosh. You know, like, if we all could just be so grateful that God places us where he needs us to be. What's your spot? Are you trying to be in someone else's spot? What's your spot? Because be thankful for the spot you've been given. Because nobody else can do that job better than you can. I cannot be your kid's mom. You cannot be my kid's mom. I cannot be your husband's wife. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to. And you cannot be my husband's wife. Hell no. Sorry, it's a place. And I am a cussing pastor. Okay, so. Sorry, I'm totally dad. Okay, sorry. Lord, please forgive me. Okay, so I'm so real, okay? I'm just so real. And what's your spot? Because I think a lot of times we look at somebody else's life and we go, oh, that would be so cool, and if I could only, and if I, you know, but wait a second, what is God asking you to do? Because I can't be Michelle. And I love that Michelle can be Michelle, but I don't want to be Michelle because I haven't been asked to be Michelle. I've been asked to be Jess. And see, you've been asked to be Pastor Deborah. You've been asked to be Pastor Joanna and Stacy and Marnie. God has you where you need to be. But if you're so bitter and mad about your spot, you're not enjoying your spot. So maybe you need to look at life and go, I never saw it that way. This is where God needs me to be, and I'm going to be free in this spot. And I'm going to begin to thank God for my spot instead of unthanking him for my spot. Where are you, God? Why are you not doing this? And he's going, I ain't giving you nothing until you figure that out. You see, God has a purpose and a plan for us. It unlocks freedom, number one. It unlocks favor. A thankful heart unlocks favor. I need the favor of God. What about you? Have you ever gone to the store and said, God, okay, I need some good deals. Have you ever done that? Do you get them? You go, no, I'm not a tither. Well, there you go. You're a tither. You get everything you want. I'm kidding. Okay, I'm totally joking around, so don't get all like too, you know, spiritual on me. Okay. It unlocks favor in our lives. I love this verse in Psalms. It says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Ooh, I need his goodness and his beauty. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see, God has asked you to be in your spot, and he's given you dreams and purposes to do for his will, his way, his desire. And then he's going to put favor on what it is he's asked you to do. What's in your hand? Because the favor of God, when you begin to thank God for what's in your hand, the favor of God's going to pour out on it, and you watch God blow things up. You're going to go, when did this happen? What changed? You know what changed? Your mouth. And your mouth followed your heart. And your heart began to just believe, thank you, Lord, that my kids are going to be awesome men and women of God. Think, even though they are right now probably not being, you just say what they're going to be, okay? I do it with Micah all the time. My Micah is like drama. In fact, I was like, how did you not be a woman? Like, seriously? So Chloe's more like the man than Micah is. Like, he's like, oh, whatever, no big deal. Micah's like, I can't believe that is happening. You know, he's a middle child. And I'm not kidding you. Constantly I'm telling Micah, when he's flipping out on me, I'm like, Micah, I believe that in the name of Jesus, you're going to honor your father and your mother, so you will live a long, full life, and you will live long. And all of a sudden, he's like, ugh. And then he turns around and he's like, all right, Mom, I'm so sorry. Thank you for being a good mom and praying over me. I mean, this kid has like the biggest heart in the world. And you see, you can turn a situation around and let the word pour out of you, and you don't even have to tell people you're speaking the word. I told AM this. You get the word inside of you. All of a sudden, a coworker at work is like, why are you so blessed? What is going on with you? What is that all about? Oh, well, you know, the righteous are never forsaken, and a beggar's never, you know, needing bread when you're in the kingdom of God. What are you talking about? Well, I'm a Christian, and, you know, God has favor on my life. You see, you are a walking testimony to the people in your world. You're going to be the odd woman out. You're going to not make sense to those around you because your mouth is going to speak thankfulness. There's going to be freedom in it, and then God's going to throw his favor on top of that. And then it's going to explode for the kingdom of God. I love the favor of God. You know, if you think about it, Mary Magdalene had some favor. You know, he didn't have just anyone there when he was ascending. That's quite a spot to be in. I mean, that's quite a moment to be in the right place at the right time. He didn't have to let anyone see him. But he chose to let her see him because she was trusted, because she had favor, because her heart was thankful, because she was a woman that he could count on. You see, the disciples were always mentioned around Jesus. But if you look behind the scenes, Mary Magdalene and her crew were also there as well. And it was the women taking care of the men, and it was the women that were wealthy actually providing for their needs. Did you know that? You see, our spot is a good spot. We maybe don't have to be the ones mentioned all the time. Oh, but we're behind the scenes, just making everything right, setting it all up. The favor of God's in our business. We've got this going. And then you know what happens? Everybody goes, man, your kids are amazing. Well, you know what? My sons and my daughters are amazing, but that's just because God's favor has poured out upon them, because I thanked God for my kids every day. Every day. What's in your hand? Are we seeking the wrong things? Are we running after those things he never asked us to run after? He's saying, just stop, be in your spot, be thankful, walk in freedom, and let me pour out my favor. I have a little saying up there. from Pastor Joel Osteen. It says, just one touch of God's favor can put you 20 miles down the road. I so believe that. When the favor of God hits you, you will look back just even a week later and go, how did that all happen? How did that all get done? Where did this come from? Where did my finances grow? I don't know how that happened. And where did this happen? And how did I get that new job? I wasn't even looking for a new job. And how did I get a new position? Because I didn't even ask for that. Oh, but the favor of God is going to launch you into new and great destinies and purposes and dreams for your life. When your kids ask you for something, and they're like, come up to you, and they're expecting it, are you like so excited to give it to them? You know, like, mom, I need da-da-da-da-da. And as soon as I get the whole, I'm like, no. Ask my kids. They know. Because they better come to me with a grateful heart. Hey, mom, you know, would it be okay if I did this? I, especially Chloe, I did my chores. I did this. Absolutely, honey. Absolutely. What do you need? I need a new pair of shoes. All right, let's go out right now and get you a new pair of shoes. Really? Okay. And you know what? She's shocked always. But you know why I bless Chloe? Well, first of all, she is my only girl. But Mike is always like, why does she get stuff? Well, you want some clothes? No. So do you notice that boys don't think clothes are a gift? But girls are like, it's totally a good gift. And you know, if Chloe asks me for something and Chloe's been awesome, Chloe's going to be blessed. I'm going to pour out favor in her path, right? I'm going to make sure she has what she needs and that she's set up for what it is that she's wanting to do, right? Now, if Chloe came to me all attitude-y, rolling her eyes like a preteen and expecting me because I'm her mama to do it for her, I'm going to be like, too bad, no. And do you ever think that maybe God is like that? He's not a slot machine. He's not just, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, but you never remember to thank him. Have you ever been given something by him that you've been asking for a long time and he gives it to you and then we forget to say thank you? Because we expected him to do it because he's God. And he says, no, that's not how this works. A heart of gratitude and thankfulness will unlock my favor, but don't ever take advantage of my favor. Because my favor will launch you farther than you could ever dream. Will take you places you never knew you could go. But not if you hold on to that expectant heart as if he doesn't deserve a heart of thankfulness. If he doesn't deserve that, oh, God, thank you so much. You know, my son, Micah, he's pretty in tune with everything. I mean, if you were in the room and your face was a certain way, Micah would go, what's wrong with them? Because he notices everything. And then there's Chloe. She notices nothing. I mean, she has fights with her friends and she doesn't even know she's in a fight. I get phone calls from her friends. I think Chloe's mad at me. She's like, what? Really? We're in a fight? I didn't even know that. So seriously, like hilarious. But Micah boy, I mean, this kid, he's in tune with every detail of everything. The other night, we were driving home from church 2 weeks ago. And I said, you guys want to pray, you know, because it's really late. So let's pray for bedtime now while we're in the car so you can get up into your bed and go to sleep. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. Does anybody else do that? Yeah, Wednesday nights, you got to pray in the car so they can put them to bed right away. So Micah starts praying and he went on. I mean, I don't think anybody even got to pray. I mean, he thanked Jesus for the bugs in the ground. He thanked Jesus for the clouds in the sky. He thanked Jesus that his mom is so awesome. He thanked Jesus that he has the best church in the whole world, that he's going to take over one day, is what he says. And Chloe goes, no, that's going to be mine. I said, whatever, we'll work that out when that happens. And it's big enough for everybody. And he prayed. Thank you. And at the end, he said, okay, everybody, I'm really sorry I took all your time because I took the whole prayer. And I said, never apologize for saying thank you. Never apologize. And then all of a sudden, the other kids' prayers didn't seem so great. Chloe's like, Mom, I have nothing else to thank God for because Micah thanked him for everything. Let's get our ourselves into an attitude of thankfulness towards God when we're talking to him. Maybe you're walking down the street and you just say, you know, thank you, Lord, that I have a good street to walk on, that nobody's bombing right now, like in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, that I can hang out with a friend at a coffee shop and wonder if I'm going to die because somebody's going to come stab me or be beheaded. Because the Christians on the other side of the world are being beheaded. Thank you, Lord, that I can read my Bible freely and not have to get it smuggled in. Oh, thank you, God. You see, we have so much to be grateful for. And yet, it's so easy for us to get off of that. God wants to launch us into goodness. The last but not least is thankfulness, and a thankful heart brings destiny. Mary Magdalene had a new destiny. After he delivered her from those demons, she had a new plan. Do you think her plan was, I'm going to follow some man around while he does things, I'm going to take care of him, and I'm going to watch him ascend up into heaven? I mean, that was probably not on her docket of things to do. But when she began to find out that Jesus is the one that I cannot be without, he is the one I'm so grateful and thankful for delivering me, and I am not in torment any longer. Demons are not controlling my life, my heart, my ways. I have a new destiny. I have a new plan. Mary Magdalene was sold out for Jesus. And you see, we as the body of Christ, we have to become sold out for Jesus. We can no longer live these mediocre Christian walks with God. The world is requiring us to make a decision. When you are in a conversation with people at work, you know what the worst thing is? When you're not bold about your faith. They would rather you be bold about who Jesus is than to not say it at all. Because a coward Christian is not a good Christian. We have to be bold. That means our destinies are written. They are scribed. God has placed them out. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. You go, well, I've never walked in those. Well, then begin thanking him, and you will begin to see that path being drawn out for you, scraped out, and he's going to lead you down where it is that he has for you. He has new things and a new destiny for you. Psalms 24, it says, may he grant you according to your heart's desire. You say, oh, I gave up on that a long time ago. I had dreams. I had, you know, purpose. I was so excited. And then it just kind of died out. Disappointment came in and robbed me. I became critical. I did become cynical of things. And you know what? Tonight's the night to make the choice to go back to what he first said to you. To go back to what he first called you to do and to be. Because he has this destiny for you. But it has to begin with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And then you will begin to see that destiny laid out for you. You will begin to see things just being built for you. You will begin to see doors open and doors close. Closed doors are not a bad thing. They're actually a safety net for you. You see, because God has a purpose and a destiny for you. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body to be thankful. Romans 8:28 is my favorite verse. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. You're called. You are all full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of you have been given a spot. All of you have been given a destiny. All of you have been given a new life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to talk to you about it in a second. But you all know that God has something for you. This world is going to beat you down, but when it does, you just begin to praise God. You begin to thank God. Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Lord, I thank you that you have called me into your destiny. Lord, I thank you, God, that my paths are ordained by you, Lord. And you just begin to get the word in you and let it come up out of you. And thank God for the scripture that comes through you. Because when it comes through you, you begin to speak power into your life. You begin to speak destiny into your life. You begin to speak new dreams and new passions and new desires. And there is something that God has for you in your household, in your ministries, in your churches, in your jobs. Did you know that your job is your ministry? Oh man, that job's annoying. Yeah, you know what? Start thanking God for that job. Because there's a lot of people looking for a job. I love Janaea up here. Janaea is a school teacher. And Janaea every day has, am I right? Is it every day you have a Christian group once a week, and they get together and they do a small group at their school for Christian teachers. And her principal just joined in on it. And she said, just to see the power of God move through that school is just priceless. See, she's in her spot. She's ministering in a way that I can't. I'm not going to Janaea school. I don't know these teachers. Boy, these kids need Jesus. And now they have, she says she anoints every chair before they come in the classroom. Listen, you need to be in your spot because you're anointed for your spot. See, I don't know what my spot is, Pastor Jess. I feel like I'm floundering, and I don't know where God needs me to be, and I don't know, you know, I'm in a new season, and I don't know what this season requires. Listen to me. Begin thanking God that you're in a new season, and then God is going to begin to write his story for that new season in your heart, and he's going to begin to speak things to you, and he's going to begin to make that clearer. But spend some time with God and thank him for your spot. Thank him that you're alive and well. Thank him that you got up today and you're able to use your eyes and you can see. Thank him that you can breathe. Thank him that you can walk. Thank him that you have a house and a roof over your head. Thank him that you have a means to get to work. Thank him. And it will begin to unlock some things for your future. And you will begin to have a new destiny, just like Mary Magdalene. If you got something from God tonight, let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.